Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're talking about the establishment of the New Testament church. We began that discussion last week and I want to conclude that today, and I'm so glad that you're with us. Learning when and where the New Testament church was established is very important. It keeps us from just picking any man-made denomination. We want to be a part of the church that began at a certain time and a certain place in that New Testament period. And there are a lot of churches and denominations that claim to go back to the New Testament, just about everybody I know of. When you're talking about Catholic and even Protestant denominations, they say it all goes back to the New Testament. But we have to test that claim and see if that is actually the case. So last week, we looked at two of three Old Testament prophecies, Joel 2 and Isaiah 2. And today we want to look at Daniel chapter 2. And with the time remaining, I want to make the point that the New Testament kingdom or the New Testament church was not present in the days of Jesus. Our Baptist friends, for example, say that the Baptist church or the New Testament church was established by John the Baptist in his day. So I want to take a look at that. So we've looked at Joel chapter 2. There are two main things there that are fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. The place, Jerusalem, is mentioned in Joel 2, and that there would be Holy Spirit miraculous powers on display there. And both of those things are found in Acts 2 with the beginning of the church. Then we looked at Isaiah chapter 2. Again, there were several characteristics there, but two that you want to take note of: out of Zion or out of Jerusalem, and the law will go forth, preaching God's word. And again, you'll find in Acts 2, Jerusalem and the preaching of God's law. Now, in Daniel chapter 2, we want to add to that to help us with regard to the time frame. And of course, if you remember the story, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has a dream, and his people who come and advise him, his wise men and so forth, they cannot give the interpretation, but Daniel can. So in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 36, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art king of kings, unto whom God of heaven has given the kingdom. This is the Old Testament kingdom of Babylon, okay, about 600 years before the time of Christ. God has given you a kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon, the power and the strength and the glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens, hath he given unto thy hand, and hath made thee to rule over them all. Thou art the head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. This is the Medo-Persian kingdom that came and conquered Babylon. And another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. This is the Greek kingdom. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. This is the Roman Empire. For as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that crushes all of these, shall it break in pieces and crush. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. There were some characteristics of Rome that were strong. There were some characteristics of Rome that eventually led to its fall in its internal division and civil war and corruption. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron does not mingle with clay. And in the days of those kings, in the days of the kings of the fourth kingdom, the Roman kingdom, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty thereof be left to another people. but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So during the days of the Roman Empire, God is going to set up a kingdom that will not be destroyed. This is the church. And once it is established, it will always be, and it continues to be until this day. And you can be a part of it, friend. You can be a part of New Testament Christians. The Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ is such a group, and you can be a part of that. It will always be until Jesus comes again. For as much as thou sawest that a throne was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron and the brass and the clay and the silver and the gold, the great God has made known to the kingdom what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof. Notice that hereafter. This is not taking place in Daniel's time, about 600 BC. It's going to be later. We saw the same thing in Joel 2 in the latter days, Isaiah 2 in the last days, here in the latter time. But there is a time frame that is nailed down here in the days of the Roman Empire. And then the second thing is that it is something that is a kingdom which shall last forever. And then look at this. It will break in pieces and consume these other kingdoms. It's not a physical kingdom. It's a church. It's a spiritual kingdom. But it will break in pieces other kingdoms in that when people obey the law of Christ and follow God and Christ and not man, these kingdoms are broken, as it were. God rules over earthly kingdoms through his word, and his word goes out into all the earth. And so it breaks down these kingdoms in that it judges them and shows them to be wrong and tells them what they need to do to be right with him. And these kingdoms will break in a sense of no longer even physically existing, but the church or God's kingdom established during the days of Rome, it will always be. So these characteristics of Joel, number one, Holy Spirit miraculous events, and number two, Jerusalem, and number three, calling on the name of the Lord. And Peter said, remember, we studied this last week in Acts chapter 2 when he was preaching, this is that which was spoken by Joel. So he nails it down. In Isaiah, again, you have the law going out of Jerusalem and all people coming unto the mountain of the Lord's house. This began on Jerusalem. Here you have in the days of this final kingdom, the Roman Empire. So when the church is established on the day of Pentecost around AD 30, that is clearly during the time of the Roman Empire. Rome was the empire during the New Testament period of time. So we have this matter nailed down then that Joel 2, Isaiah 2, and Daniel 2 all point to Acts 2. Now, with regard to God setting up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, I want to turn now to the New Testament and point out that this kingdom or this church was not in the days of Jesus' earthly ministry. Our Baptist friends especially say that the church was established by John the Baptist during his day. And that simply is not the case. And I'm not trying to single out our Baptist friends by any means, but I do want to point out that the church was not in existence in the days of John the Baptist or in the earthly ministry of Jesus. And so in order to establish that, we've got to go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see some things there with regard to both the church and the kingdom. And that's what we want to do. We want to make this point that the church and the kingdom began on the day of Pentecost. This is after Jesus has already lived, died, been buried, been resurrected, and ascended back into heaven. 50 days later, we have the day of Pentecost, okay? That's when the church begins. So the church is not in existence in the days of John the Baptist or Jesus' earthly ministry. In Matthew chapter 3, here's where I want to begin. I want to begin with John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist, who is 6 months older than Jesus, he has begun to preach. Soon after him, Jesus will begin to preach. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, "In those days cometh John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is at hand, or it is near. And it was, but it was not in existence. I'm talking about the church phase of the kingdom. It's not in existence. It's near. This is the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, because Jesus will come in this same chapter and be baptized of John. And Jesus will have about a 3-year ministry. So 3 years from now, there will be a kingdom. It is near. It is at hand. But it is not in existence. And Jesus began preaching the same thing. When Jesus began preaching, he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He said essentially the same thing. John had been delivered up, Mark chapter 1, verse 10, and Jesus came preaching the gospel, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe in the gospel." Okay, so Jesus and John are preaching that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay? In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is teaching about prayer, one of the things that he says is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." So praying that the kingdom would come. That's the first year of his ministry. In the second year of his ministry, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church." It is still yet in the future. Anybody can see that "I will" is future tense. And so it's not something that is already in existence. The church does not go back to John the Baptist. It is not a Baptist church. It is not a church founded on John the Baptist or named after John the Baptist. In fact, Baptist is not even a name. It's John, literally John the Baptizer or baptizing one. Baptist in English comes from the Greek that is focusing on the action of baptism. It's not his last name. It's not a proper name. It's not a personal name. It's John the Baptizer, or literally John the Baptizing One. It's just simply describing what he is doing, not his name. And so that's something that needs to be considered as well. But the church is not in existence. The kingdom, the church, is not in existence in the days of John the Baptist or even in the earthly ministry of Jesus. It is something that Christ will build in the future. And it's not going to be far off into the future, because this statement was roughly in his second year of his preaching. Here's another example. When you turn to Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus said, "There would be some of them that stand here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God come with power." The kingdom of God come with power. And we're going to talk about in just a minute how that power is displayed. We've already been told that in Joel chapter 2. It's going to be Holy Spirit power. Okay? So, now come with me to the last year of Jesus' ministry and really his final moments on the cross. The thief who puts his faith in Jesus says, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." There would be a coming kingdom, and it would not be very far from this point, about 50 days. So, Jesus dies, he's buried, he's resurrected. And they're still asking about the kingdom, which is interesting in Acts chapter 1. One thing that Jesus is talking with them about. Acts 1:3, after Jesus' death, about 40 days, speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God and being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, that you heard from me, for John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This goes back to Matthew chapter 3 at the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus. John said, I indeed baptize you with water and repentance, but he that comes after me, that's Jesus, is mightier, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in Acts 1 and verse 5 that that is now going to be fulfilled, not with everybody, but with the apostles in Jerusalem. Okay? Not many days from now, and it's going to be about 10 days, and then there's going to be the day of Pentecost. And when that day of Pentecost came, we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together, the 12 apostles, in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. We read that last week. There appeared tongues upon them, the apostles, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the fulfillment of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was for the apostles, not for everybody there. That's the fulfillment of Acts 1:5. So, what we find then is the kingdom, Mark 9:1, the kingdom is coming with power. What is that power, Mark 9:1? What is that power? Well, turn back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. In verse 5, Jesus promised the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the apostles. Let's keep reading. They therefore, verse 6, when they were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, do you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has set within his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And then he is ascended back up into heaven. And that's where he is until this day at the right hand of God. When did that power come? On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, when they are filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak with tongues, that power, that kingdom came with power. Mark 9, the kingdom would come with power. Acts 1:8, the power comes when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So in Acts 2:4, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, that's when the kingdom came with power. And so, on that same occasion, the church begins. Now, what is very interesting is, from this point onward, with reference to the church, kingdom is in the past tense. In the Gospels, it's in the future tense. It's near. It's at hand. It will come with power. But starting with Acts chapter 2, when you read about the church and the kingdom, it's in the past tense. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to them, or the church, daily such as should be saved. This had never been said before. Acts 2:47. It was never said before that the Lord added to the church. It started on the day of Pentecost. And so, as Matthew 16:18 is the first mention of the church, I will, future tense, Acts 2:47 is the first time that people were added to it. And that is an important thing to talk about. Okay? Later, in the mid to late 50s AD, when Peter was preaching to the Jews in Acts chapter 11 about the household of Cornelius and how they had been saved in Acts chapter 10 and how the Holy Spirit came upon them. He said it came upon them just like it did on us at the beginning. Acts 11:15. The beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of the church. The beginning of the kingdom. Later, a few years later, in the early 60s AD, when Paul is in Rome writing what we call the Roman prison epistles, this is very important in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Colossians 1:13. Paul says that Christ delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us, or the Father rather, delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The kingdom is already in existence. It's not in the future. It's present tense, and it has been present tense since the day of Pentecost. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12:28, we having received a kingdom which cannot be moved. And then moving to the end of the New Testament, around 95 AD, with the writing of the book of Revelation, John says, I, John, your brother and partaker in the kingdom, Revelation 1:9. So these references to kingdom after Acts chapter 2 are references to the kingdom already being present. So friends, the church was not established during the days of John the Baptist. The church was not established in the days of Jesus' earthly ministry. If you have the church being built by John the Baptist or in the days of John the Baptist, you have some problems and you have some consequences, and I want to take the remainder of our time to look at that. Again, we don't just want to pick a church. We want to be a part of that New Testament church that Jesus said, I will, future from about the second year of his ministry, future from that. Well, the day of Pentecost. We don't just want to pick something. It needs to begin in Jerusalem, Isaiah 2, Joel 2. It needs to begin in the days of the Roman Empire, Daniel chapter 2. It needs to begin not just in Jerusalem and not just in the days of the Roman Empire, but with an event of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's Joel 2. Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost has those three things. Churches that were established in other places and in other times and in other situations do not have those three things. We do not need to be a part of that. But somebody comes along and says, well, the church was started by John the Baptist. Here are some problems with that. If the church was started by John the Baptist, you have a church established and existing before the death of Christ. It cannot be a New Testament church because there was no New Testament. The New Testament came when Jesus shed his blood for the new covenant, Matthew 26, other passages. It's not a New Testament church. There is no New Testament in force until Jesus sheds his blood. That's very important. And the church is the body of Christ. But the body of Christ, Christ is the head of the body, and he shed his blood for the church, Acts chapter 20. The blood has to be shed for the church before the church can be in existence. If you have the church before the death of Christ, it's under the law of Moses, and we cannot be justified by the law of Moses, Galatians 2:16. And its members would be without the atoning blood of Jesus because it would be existing at a time when Jesus had not even shed his blood yet. So, nobody in it was saved. It would be a church that existed before it was even purchased. As I just mentioned, the Lord purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 20:28. but this would be a church in existence before he had even shed his blood. Friends, you've got to think about that. There's some ramifications and some consequences if you say, well, you know, the church existed in the days of John the Baptist. It would end up being a church that was an unpurchased, unredeemed, unsaved church. Number two, if the church was in the days of John the Baptist, it would have been established before the resurrection of Christ. He's the cornerstone, and he was raised to be the cornerstone. And the church is not in existence before the resurrection of Christ. After the resurrection of Christ, Jesus gave the commission to go into all the world, Mark 16 and Matthew 28. It would be a church that would be in existence before the gospel had even been sent into all the world. And remember, Isaiah 2:2-4 said that the house of the Lord would be that which anybody and everybody could come to. In the days of John the Baptist, Matthew 10:5, the preaching was primarily to Jews. Jesus sent his disciples, Matthew 10:5, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the church is for all mankind. And so you've got to think about that. There were some things that took place after the resurrection of Jesus that fulfill these Old Testament prophecies of the gospel being for all mankind. So think about that. Number three, it would be established before the ascension of Christ. Jesus ascended to be our high priest, Hebrews 7, verse 14. Jesus could not be a high priest on earth, but he was a high priest after he ascended back into heaven. If the church existed in the days of John the Baptist, there would be no high priest. There would be no sacrifice for sins. There would be no high priest. And the church, the kingdom, the body is built on the apostles, but there would be no apostles yet if it's in the days of John the Baptist. It would not have the Holy Spirit's word that had guided the apostles into all the truth. It would not have that. And so we've got to think about that. And then last of all, it would be a kingdom without a king. When Jesus was raised in Acts chapter 2, 30-33, he was raised to sit on a throne, the throne of David, at the right hand of God. That was after his resurrection. And this is in fulfillment of Daniel 7, 13 and 14, when the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days and received a kingdom. This happened after Jesus' ascension back into heaven. So friends, we want to be a part of the New Testament church that began in Jerusalem, number one, on the day of Pentecost, in the Roman Empire time, and with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That is the establishment of the New Testament church, and we want to go back and be a part of that. I thank you for being with us today, and I hope that you'll have a good day.